Welcome to the Crossroads Idaho podcast. We exist to equip and mobilize people to live the life and mission of Jesus so that we see our valley awakened and transformed by the love of God.
Well, for two services this morning with kids in both services and dedications, I tell you what, it has been just a full morning. It'll been a lot of fun, and we are going to be talking a little bit about what we started last week. And kids, I need to know if you're here. Are you here? Say hello. Hello. Come on, you can do better than that. Are you here? Hello. They're here, okay? Now, listen, moms and dads, I'm going to be talking about a very familiar story to them, but I'm going to, right at first, talk a little bit about what it means, okay? And you might be needed later to talk that through with your kids. But then Nathan, who is our middle school director, is going to come up, and he's got a few kids who are going to come up with him, and he's going to talk about the second part of it so that we can help the kids understand, and we have something for the kids at that point. But because we're going to give it to you parents to distribute to your kids, because when we ordered them, they looked bigger than they actually turned out to be. These are little rainbows, okay? So moms and dads, you will be in charge of distributing those, okay? You can get those in the foyer. But I want to talk about what we started last week, and that is this whole idea of who we are is why we do what we do. Throughout the Bible, there are five major covenants that God makes with mankind. And the result of that is we then have a response to God, what we call a kingdom responsibility, an opportunity to join God in doing what he's doing in the world. And so a covenant is God saying to us, he loves us. The kingdom part of it is us saying, we love you too, God, and we're going to live with you and walk with you and work with you. So just a reminder from last week, we talked about the covenant being how the Bible describes relationship between us and God and then one another. And then kingdom is how the Bible describes responsibility, our invitation to be God's empowered representatives on earth. There's five major stories. Okay, and we're gonna look at the first one today, but the covenants of the Bible are when God reminds us of his love and then gives us a way to respond by helping him establish his kingdom on earth. It's why Jesus taught us to pray, may thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer because we are his kingdom representatives. We're asking God, because of his love, to work in us and work through us and to change the world. Does that make sense? Okay, now kids, we're going to talk about the first of the five covenants, and the first one is the covenant God made with Noah, okay? Now we're going to be looking at these over the weeks ahead, all five major covenants, and every one of them ties to the last one, the covenant Jesus makes with us, and we're going to tie in with that even today. But the story begins with a familiar story of Noah's ark and God's promise that never again will he destroy all living things. Now, let's be honest, okay? Whenever you have moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, and kids alike, you're going to tackle a story like Noah's ark. It's real easy to just talk about the animals and the boat and what happens after that. But I think we need to be honest about what precedes that, because it's truth. And one of the reasons we need to understand the covenant that God makes with us, his covenant of love, is because, are you listening? We don't deserve God's love. But he loves us anyways because God is love and he can't help but not love. But Noah's Ark is not a story that necessarily feels simply loving. In fact, the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 6, where we're going to be this morning, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Wow. it doesn't sound like, well, we were doing pretty good on our own and God decided to wipe everything out. No, it sounds like God needed to take action because things had gotten severely out of hand. And so as we look at this passage this morning, I'm going to give you all sorts of things, moms and dads, to talk about with the kids, okay? So we're going to take a look at the scripture, but what we need to understand, if we go back to Genesis, God, it says, hovered over the expanse, the watery chaos, and there he speaks creation into existence. Now, just six chapters later, there's another watery expanse, but this time what is hovering over it is an ark. And it is almost as if this is creation two, a reboot, so to speak, a re-creation because of what God sees. So we're going to take a look at it right now in Genesis chapter 6, and here's the story that precedes floating on the water and what happens afterwards, okay? Here we go. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they've filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them out all along with the earth. Build a boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth is going to die, but I'm going to confirm my covenant with you. Wow. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. He is the only example in this time in history who did everything that God commanded. Everyone else had turned their back on God. So God will make a covenant with the people of God. But notice this, Noah did everything God commanded. Our response to God's covenant is obedience. I will do what you say, God. I don't always understand everything you say, but I'm going to do it because I trust you and I trust that you know what's happening. Now, what do we do with this story? Some people look at this and they say, well, this is not fair. I mean, surely this is an overreaction on God's part. I've heard that many times. And let me just say this. If we fail to grasp how insidious, and kids, that means harmful, evil actually is, we won't understand the drastic measures required to stop it. The more we minimize our own sinfulness, the more we will maximize what we think God should have responded. If we think that sin is no big deal, we miss what God is trying to say. When he says he looks at the heart of man and evil is only his intention, what he's saying is that there is no end in sight that will turn out the way I intended it to be. Now, some people think, how could God get that mad? There is no mention of the word vengeance or anger in this story, in the original Hebrew. This is not a story of God's vengeance. In fact, the two key words for us to understand are found in verse 6 and the word for sorry and grief. Maybe kids, maybe there have been times when you felt very sad about something someone did and it hurt your feelings really bad. That's a little bit about what God was feeling here. Because the original Hebrew words tell us that it literally broke God's heart. It literally means there was a grief within God. It's not anger, it's not vengeance, it's grief. So as I take those two Hebrew words, I'm going to give an English translation to the meaning behind it. And this is my best effort. I'm sure that others could do better, but justice served produces a strange comfort. Though the necessity of justice causes regret, and literally experienced within God, here is the meaning, to be brokenhearted, it stems from knowledge of the situation as well as the needed solution. And it is willing to act as painful as it may be. Implied in these two words of Genesis 6:6 is that God acted in grace, steeped in pain, yet comforted by knowing that by stopping certain actions, grievous and sinful behavior would end. I think we would call that tough love. When we love someone so much that we stop giving them more space. Where we say, enough is enough. Because I love you, this cannot go on. It must stop. Because though we have tried and tried and tried again, hoping for a turn of their heart, the breaking of our heart insists that we put a stop to it. We do not understand this story if we don't understand that. It is a broken-hearted God who acts. And so the story goes, Noah responded to God. He took kingdom responsibility. He obeyed and indeed set out on this amazing adventure. But that's not the end of the story. Because God makes a covenant of love with Noah. And so I've asked Nathan if he would come up, and I think there's some kids that he's asked to come up, and they're going to talk about what does that covenant look like, okay?
Right. So if those kids who have been invited by Miss Gwen or Miss Rachel, you guys want to come sit right up here? That would be awesome. Now, as we're talking about the story of Noah, most of us know he got in a boat, put two animals in, they floated around for a while, chilling, right? We're not going to cover all of that part of the story. We're going to cover what happens after the ark, right? Because we talk about that so much. Now, guess what happens? Noah, right, he gets off of the ark, and what would be the first thing you guys would do if you got off the ark?
Thank God.
Thank God, yes!
Wow, okay.
That's exactly what Noah does.
That's exactly right.
Way to go. He thanks God, and he builds this altar. Now, have you guys ever built an altar before? No, me neither. But he builds this altar, and he offers a sacrifice. And I think we have a picture up here
we have the verse, yeah.
And in the verse, God smells this offering, and it says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart and who he was, never again will I curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything in them is bent towards evil. Now, do men turn away from their evil ways all the time? No. And God recognizes that. No. But in God's heart, he says, even though they're going to do bad things, I'm not going to destroy all living creatures as I have done.
Right.
Right? And God sits there, and so Noah builds this offering like, and you can see the pleasing aroma in this. Now, I have another way of thinking about this. Okay, can anybody tell me what this is?
A ring.
A ring, right? And I just have this because I like to wear rings, right? No, I don't, right? It's kind of weird for guys to wear rings sometimes, right? If I just had my fingers full. But why do I wear this ring? Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's not if I'm married. I am married, right? But let's say this ring is a symbol of a covenant I made with my beautiful wife, right?
So covenant means marriage or what?
No, covenant means, and remember, we used that definition earlier. God makes a covenant to define our relationship, right? So if I make a covenant with my wife, I'm defining our relationship, right? And God gave us that example in this story saying, I'm making a covenant with all creation. But let's say, for instance, that I take this ring and I just give it to Jim. Am I no longer in covenant with my wife? What? But he has the ring, right? No, I'm not. Let's say that I accidentally leave this on the bathroom counter and I show up somewhere. Am I no longer married to my wife? No. The symbol does not mean the covenant is gone, right? In the Bible, God makes a covenant with man, right? And it comes in Genesis 9:11, and it says, yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will I flood or kill all of creation. Never again will I flood or destroy earth. What's the covenant that God makes with us? What does he say? Yeah, go ahead. He loves us so much that what's he not going to do? Yeah, go ahead.
He promised not to flood the earth again.
He's not going to destroy it. Now, did he just make that covenant with me? Did he just make it with Ella? No, he made it with
all
creation, all of us. Okay, and that's the cool thing about this covenant, right? Now, he didn't just say, hey, guys, I'm going to define our relationship. I'm not going to do this, right? He actually goes further. Do you guys know what he uses? Yeah. Well, I'll go over here. He uses a rainbow, right? In this. Now, I love rainbows. They're kind of cool. But do we see rainbows all the time? If I walk outside, am I going to see a rainbow?
No.
No. But does that mean the covenant's gone? No. It's always there. That's the promise of a rainbow. Now, sometimes people might like to redefine. Now, Jim, when he was growing up.
Okay, kids, when I was like really young, okay, like 16, like back in ancient history, okay? We put rainbow stickers on our cars sometimes to tell people that we believed in Jesus. You want proof? There it is, right there. That's me in my first car. See that?
You see the little rainbow right there?
Yeah. And that meant we loved Jesus. Now, moms and dads, you can explain to your kids later why sometimes that rainbow has been used for other things, but it's always meant that God loves us and promises that he will always love us, okay?
Right.
That's what it means. And so when you see that rainbow, remember that, okay? And that's a 66 Sport Fury in case you're, okay, you don't care.
Don't,
all right, all right.
I don't know what that is either.
Just, yeah.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, they don't care, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, so remember, he makes a symbol of his promise, right? And the symbol he uses is a?
Rainbow.
Today, you guys are going to get these little...
See these?
Your parents are going to get these little things, right?
Okay. To remind you, right.
To remind you of the covenant. And remember, covenant is how God defines his relationship with us,
he
right?
He loves us. Yeah.
He loves us. And from his heart, are we ever going to get destroyed? Is the whole earth ever going to get destroyed?
Nope.
No, that's a promise. That's way cool. Also, the other really cool thing about God's promise, most people don't know this because we don't ever get like a from the top ground view of a rainbow. But Pastor Jim found this really cool thing of what God sees from the sky. What do you guys see that rainbow creating? A circle, right? A rainbow. God actually created this really cool ring of a rainbow. God liked it enough to put a ring on it. Anyways, this is the cool covenant. So today you guys are going to get rainbows to remind you that God made a covenant with us. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Right, thanks, guys.
You
Thank
guys
you.
Are awesome.
Let's give him a hand.
Woo! Thanks for your help today.
They came up with those answers. Those are great, you guys. Good job. So the covenant that God makes with us is a covenant to love us. But there's also a kingdom response that's required. It's not just that we walk out of here and say, wow, God loves us. We walk out of here knowing we're supposed to do something next. And we'll be unpacking that even next week. But what is our kingdom response? I'll tell you this, it's a whole lot like Noah. He did exactly what God said. Even though he didn't know really what was happening, he believed God. And sometimes we just have to believe that love and walk in it. So as we think about that, we have to realize that the covenant is about who we are. We're His. But why we do what we do is based on who we are. We're His sons and daughters. And He's called us to be His kingdom representatives. So those who embrace this amazing love are those who do pray, "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Because we care about God's kingdom growing here. We all know that the kingdom of darkness continues to try to grow. But we're called to be His people to make sure the kingdom of God grows. And all the five covenants bring us back to the final covenant, the covenant that Jesus makes on the night He was betrayed, when He said, "This is a new covenant." So for 2,000 years, the church has celebrated what we call communion. And moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, in the chairs in front of you, you'll find the communion cups. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity for about 15, 20, 30 seconds to explain to your kids what's about ready to happen. And if you're new to this, there's two things to unwrap here. The top one will release the bread, and the second one opens up the juice part. So in just a moment, we're going to partake of these elements together. But moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, take a moment right now with your kids and explain to them about what we're about ready to do. So in accordance with the church, over the past 2,000 years, we celebrate this new covenant Jesus makes. You see, on the night Jesus was betrayed, He went to this regular Passover meal that He was having with His disciples. And this time it was different because He took the bread and He broke it. And He says, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you." That means God understands our brokenness and He alone can bring healing. But then He told us to eat it and be thankful. So let's do that together. And the Bible says that in the same way, after supper, He took the cup. And He says, "This is the new covenant, which is my blood, the shedding of my blood for the forgiveness of sins." It is only through Christ that we stand, not because we deserve God's love. Noah didn't deserve it. Moses didn't deserve it. David didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but God loves us because He is love. And so our response is always to drink the cup and be thankful for His forgiveness. Let's do that together. Pastor Ryan.
Just close with a time of prayer. In the quietness of your own hearts, we're just going to take a couple minutes and just say a prayer of thank you to God. God, thank you. Thank you for seeing our need and not just leaving us in our need, but sending us a Savior by meeting the need. Thank you for sending Jesus to the cross to take the penalty that we deserved. Not only did He take the penalty, but thank you that He rose to life so that we might have a new life in Him as well. It's such a powerful symbol of your love for us, the communion bread and the communion juice. Jesus, I pray for us all in this room, from the youngest of us in this room to the oldest, that message of your deep love for us, the love that went to the cross, that love would just soak into every single corner of our heart and transform it and change it, that we might live here, leave here knowing that we have a responsibility to then represent you to the world. Give us your strength to do that, to reach out to our friends and our classmates, our neighbors, to those we work with, our family members, to be your representative here on earth. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. It's been so fun being all together this Sunday. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you next week.